Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What if everyone was turning their head to look at you with a brand new Flowmaster exhaust system from Exhaust Pro in Macomb on Georgia Avenue? Cruise in style with Exhaust Pro of Macomb on Georgia Avenue.
Listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Here we go. Welcome in, everybody, on this Sunday night. Almost a Thursday. On this Sunday night, glad that you guys listened. I don't know what I'm thinking with the Thursday thing. I wish it was at the moment. Appreciate you guys being here. Welcome in to the first edition of the podcast live recording, Rebel Report Live, and glad that you guys are here on the ground floor, although we've been doing this for quite some time, but I appreciate you guys being here with the slightly new format. For those of you that are new, this will now be the live recording of the podcast. It's been going on for a little while now, the Rebel Report podcast, part of the Super Talk family of podcasts. It's been going on for a while, but we are now consolidating the live stream into the podcast, and I'm glad that you guys are here. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Also, subscribe to the podcast if you are listening on the website. I'm glad that you're here, and we're glad that you're visiting supertalk.fm, but pull out your phone and your favorite podcast app. I recommend Spotify myself, but they all work just fine. Search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. Don't forget to follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, right here on YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. So the lead today is the baseball series sweep and the embarrassing home loss for the basketball team. So let's start with baseball. A few overarching thoughts from the series win. I'll give you a couple on basketball as well, and then we'll get into the live chat as always. So it's Morehead State, first of all. I mean, that bears repeating, that everything that follows what I'm about to say comes with the context that it is Morehead State. But here Ole Miss is again taking care of business, and they have seemingly built up some confidence going into conference play. And that's exactly what you would hope to see this weekend, is three wins. I mean, beating Memphis in the midweek, and then getting three wins this weekend. It was the only way that you could have viewed this weekend as a success, honestly. But coming off of the Iowa series win, which should have been confidence building, especially getting the last two in that series, turning around, winning in the midweek, and then sweeping on the weekend, just continuing to build on momentum as they grow as a baseball team. And so the jury's still out, and it should still be out on this team. I am not going to sit here and tell you that they're back or whatever. I'm not going to do that. I think that would be irresponsible. But you should be encouraged by what you've seen yet again, this team taking care of business. And two things that I was really watching closely for this weekend, well, actually three. Two are just kind of one and the same, is starting pitching and their efficiency paired with Liam Doyle's first start at Ole Miss, and then hitting with runners in scoring position. And both of those things happened for Ole Miss this weekend. It is Morehead State. Things are about to get a lot more difficult for them next weekend, but still, they played the games that they played. And so for the first time really this year, you got some really good efficiency out of Ole Miss's starting pitching. And really for the first time this year, you got some pretty consistent quality at-bats and productive at-bats with runners in scoring position. With two outs, they were especially good with two outs on Friday night. But let's start with the pitching. So Gunnar Dennis goes five complete on just 90 pitches. He most certainly could have gone further into the game if the game was more impactful. But, you know, it's Morehead State. So just one earned run and five complete, and should have gotten out of, oh gosh, I forget what inning it was. Let me scroll up here if I can try to remember. What was it? The second that he should have gotten out of, but an error continued that inning. So his pitch count was actually higher than it should have been had he gotten some clean defense behind him. Struck out five, only one walk in that five complete on 90 pitches. That's efficient. That is certainly efficient enough. Again, it's going to get more difficult for them moving forward, but you have to like what you saw from him on Friday night. Saturday, a little bit of a different story. Now, all eyes were on Liam Doyle, as they should have been for Ole Miss. But, you know, Bianco only gave him three innings and, well, what was it, three and a third? And he was exactly what you wanted to see out of him, though, I would assume. And we will ask Mike Bianco about that on the radio show tomorrow. And for those of you listening in podcast form, you will hear that interview. I'll just put that in your feed for you, because we're going to ask him, you know, did he do enough for him to continue to keep that role as your game two starter with South Carolina coming to town next weekend? I certainly think that he was good enough. That breaking pitch especially, he was sharp, and he was throwing them for strikes, and really was fooling Morehead State's batters, which, you know, it's an Ohio Valley Conference team. Maybe they have a chance to win the Ohio Valley Conference, but still, not exactly a bunch of world beaters. But if you look at their averages and their production so far this year, it's not like this was an incompetent team at the plate. And he goes 3 1/3, only 58 pitches, struck out 8 in that 3 1/3. He was electric. I think he's earned that game two spot myself. People were wondering why Bianco may have pulled him then. I think quite simply it's, you know, you needed to get some other guys work. It was pretty clear that they were going into a run rule situation, and there was no need to extend him. I think that was kind of, okay, I've seen enough. This is the guy that there's going to be two shorter innings. Got to get some other dudes some work, and Bianco was able to do just that. A couple of guys follow Doyle that don't really pitch all that much, and then Mason Nichols slammed the door with 5 strikeouts and 2 complete. That was a really, really good sign. But the run production in the first two games, also impressive, especially, again, with runners in scoring position. 13 hits on Friday, only in 7 innings, 11 hits on Saturday. Really good production at the plate for Ole Miss as well. Same story again on Sunday. Grayson Saunier was very efficient with his 5 complete innings. Just 3 hits, only struck out 3, but only 3 hits and 5 complete, and only threw 66 pitches. The efficiency for Ole Miss's pitchers was the best it's been all season long, and that's really all you need from them, is just to be efficient, get you into the 6th, maybe even get you into the 7th, because Ole Miss's bullpen right now has really, really shined. Now, Austin Simmons struggled a little bit today, but, you know, he's a freshman. It's going to happen sometimes. But between Mallets and Nichols and now you've got guys coming on like Tekoyan has been good in his action lately. Mitch Morrell has been good in his action lately. And suddenly you've got a really viable bullpen with 3 starting pitchers that should go into next weekend with some confidence, being as efficient as they were. At the plate, it's more of the same for Ole Miss. Groff, Fisher, Jackson Ross, Leje have all been good. Trayson Hughes has seemingly seen the baseball a little bit better. Even Luke Hill has come on. That early season, or that start of the season slump, if you want to call it that, probably was ending before he was able to, got a hit Friday. What, he have a couple yesterday as well? Yeah, had a couple yesterday in just his 2 logged at bats, and also went 1 for 3 again today. So he was hitting the ball for a couple games leading into it a little bit harder than the numbers would indicate. So they need him and Hughes to be more productive than they've been, and you've seen some signs of that happening. So quality weekend. Look, it's Morehead State. It is what it is. We're not going to really know about this team until this weekend, but you should have seen a lot of things that you really like going into the weekend series in conference play with South Carolina. This team has improved. They absolutely have improved from week 1 to now. Is that improvement big enough to where they can start winning some SEC games and some SEC series? We will have to see, but you should really like what you've seen so far from the last couple of weeks from this team. Price of poker is going up. Pitching is going to get so much better as they move forward, but some positive signs from this team after the weekend. Turn the page to basketball real quick. There's very little that needs to be said, honestly. As you guys know, I have been questioning the effort for a few weeks now, honestly. I know that they lack talent in spots. I'm very well aware of that. But this team for a few weeks now has done things poorly that you don't need talent to do well. Effort, knowing your assignments defensively, closeouts, rebounding, positioning, and effort, stuff like that. And Saturday was a really glaring example of a team that there was something wrong internally, whether it was, I don't know if it's a leadership issue, if Chris Beard is having trouble getting this team to buy into his style. I don't know what it is, but there has been something wrong. If you're being honest about it, if you've been with me this whole time, there's been something wrong, something weird internal. You weren't getting maximum effort for 40 minutes in games with the NCAA tournament on the line. And I know this past weekend there really wasn't much to play for, but it was senior day. I mean, play personal pride or something. And Chris Beard finally kind of let his team have it in the post game for the first time this year. Essentially called out the effort of his players. And that tells you that what we've been talking about here has been something that he has seen internally as well. We've talked about it on the radio show some, and it's just been kind of dismissed as, yeah, but they're not talented, or yeah, this, or no, there's been a disconnect. And in Chris Beard's post game, if you haven't watched it yet, you should. He kind of clues you in on he's been having trouble getting certain guys on that team to play for the team on their chest instead of the name on their back. That's the phrase that he used. They got embarrassed on their home floor. And it was a pretty brutal stretch. Now, they played really good teams and things like that, but there was some kind of disconnect. If anybody can figure it out, it is Chris Beard. He has a proven track record at multiple stops to lead you to believe that if anybody can solve it, it's him. But his post-game told you that we were onto something, as we talked about, some kind of a disconnect with that team and its effort. They didn't give maximum effort. It was clear, and now we've got their coach saying that as well. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. If you are a Mississippi business anywhere in this great state and you're in the market for office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, if it's technology, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, ABSMS.com is the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. It's Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. We've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. They make me their priority every time that I go in. They'll do the same for you. They've got local loan servicing and decision-making. So if you need a loan or you need one serviced, you don't have to get on Zoom and talk to somebody from a few states over. No, it's somebody right here in your backyard because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Let's get to the comments. Appreciate you guys being here. You agree with my son, Waffle House is pretty. Oh man, I laughed so hard. I mean, we're pulled up to Waffle House and Daddy, it's so pretty. It's like, that's the most American thing I've ever heard you say. And I could not be prouder of you in that moment than when we were pulling up to Waffle House and you called it pretty. Yes, it's an essential part of life. The coffee is just okay. And the waffles are good enough. And the atmosphere is perfect. That's what it is. Brandon, thank you for the super chat, man. I appreciate you. Appreciate you very, very much. Unfortunately, basketball is not done. It depends on how long they go in the SEC tournament next week. And then you'll get DK on the baseball call. So they play Thursday night. He may not. It depends, I guess. Maybe if they do lose Thursday night, he'll get back in time and call baseball on Saturday night. Maybe they just give him the day off as a result. But basketball still takes priority. So if basketball is playing Friday in the SEC tournament, you will not hear David Kellum on your baseball broadcast until basketball is no longer conflicting. So, Aiken, South Carolina watching. Appreciate you, Jeffrey. Glad that you're here, man. Glad that you are here. Not too terribly far from my hometown. I don't know if you guys follow me on Twitter, by the way. I don't know if many people could pick up on. I was having some fun with the very small vocal group of people trying to get the women's basketball tournament moved from Greenville, my hometown. And I was having some fun with that because it's a great host site. It's fine. There's just very little difference. They sold out the arena today. Clearly something's working. It's not a big, anyway. So I was having fun with that. So if you guys were annoyed at my Greenville tweets this weekend, that's why. I was just having a little fun with the move the tournament idea. So anyway, liking the new color scheme. Yeah, I had worked on it while he was supposed to be napping today. He never actually fell asleep, but he was supposed to be. And so I worked on that, gave it a little sprucing up. So the big picture questions on basketball should still stay the focus, but part of that should include recognizing how embarrassing Saturday was, a big problem for the program. Exactly. And I mean, Saturday was embarrassing. You can kind of excuse it when they kind of lost everything to play for. But man, South Carolina punked them on their home floor when they still were very much in the NCAA tournament hunt. You know, I mean, South Carolina just looked like the team that was more physical and more willing, you know, and same thing with Georgia. It just, I know Matt Morrell wasn't available, but there's been a weird deal with effort to me with this team for a while. And again, I know that they're lacking in spots and I understand that, but things didn't look right down the stretch. And that's okay to say. Both of these things can be true at once. It can be true that Chris Beard did a really good job in year one, that Chris Beard is an elite level coach, and that with time, he will win a lot of big games at Ole Miss. And it can also be true that this last 2 months of play was really not acceptable. They can certainly be better than that. And frankly, I really liked what he said after the game where I hope he follows through with it because it's a great idea to reimburse the fans that were in attendance for that absolute garbage that was basketball on Saturday afternoon. I loved that, frankly, because as you guys know, I am very pro-fan. I will advocate for the fan first in sports. I think you guys are thought about last when you guys are the ones that pay the bills for everything. And so hearing a coach say that out loud, I thought was awesome because you don't hear that enough. Teams get embarrassed and coaches don't go that far. And so if he follows through with that, that would be to be really impressive to me for whatever it's worth. I mean, again, I'm not the one that is paying his bills. You guys are. You guys pay his bills. You guys buy the tickets and the merchandise and all that. So for whatever my opinion's worth, I think that should go a long way with the fans talking the way he did and acknowledging what that was. It does not happen enough in sports, not only college sports, but sports in general. Doesn't happen enough. So anyway, appreciate the super chat. You like the new screen layout? Yeah, I'm glad you like it. Looking forward to those PTG shirts, man. I can't wait. We will be rocking those on this stream. Trust me. I can't wait. So thank you again, my friend. Appreciate you a lot. You find it humorous that they will play A&M again Thursday. In your opinion, play all the backup guys who actually showed some real effort Saturday. Not like it matters anyway. I would not be surprised if there are some minutes given to people that that don't usually get them. So, Scott, I'm so glad you're here, man. I appreciate you. For sure. And thank you. But you say, since you are merging the two, which I don't blame you at all, can I not ask 8 questions now? Yes, you can. You can ask whatever you want. You can ask whatever you want, my friend. I appreciate you. It's quite all right. I think the audience will forgive you. I'm just glad you're still here after that. And I appreciate you understanding why this is happening. It's just, as I said last time, but the Rebel Report needs the same attention that Thunder and Lightning gets. And it, to this point, and it's my fault, it has not gotten it. And that just that needed to change. So we're changing that. But the fact that you're still here after that tells me a lot, Scott. Thank you, man. looks like a higher production. This is about as best I could do with about 30 minutes of time. I probably could do even more, but I do think it can get to a point where if you have too much, it gets distracting. So there's a balance, right? Where it's, you know, you're not here for layout, you're here for content. So I don't know. Maybe that's just my cop out, but I think the simpler, the better most of the time. Baseball has been looking better and better, but of course the competition is not good. Weather really sucked the first two games. The South Carolina series next week will be very important. Yeah, well, it'll tell us a lot about this team. I do really like the bullpen. I like the bullpen a lot. I think Doyle and Saunier especially are two guys that I think that stuff will translate. I'm very curious to see how Dennis looks as the competition improves, jumping from junior college to this level, but he's been good to this point. This time next week, we will really, really know a lot about this Ole Miss team. We will know a lot about them this time next week. I know it's only three games, but still, we'll know if they're ready for this or not. The Oscars is a dying show. I couldn't tell you who was nominated or what. I don't know. I don't think I've watched a movie in the last 12 months. I'm sure I have, but none that would be nominated for something like this. Saunier looks so comfortable in that Sunday spot. Yeah, and that's why, to Bianco's credit, I wondered out loud, should they move him for any reason? And clearly, Mike Bianco thought that he was best suited in that role, and that was a good decision. He looks great there. And he, I think, is a plus Sunday starter, even in the SEC. I think most weekends you should really like your pitching advantage or your pitching matchup on Sunday. And so good on Bianco for not moving him, because that does look like his natural, comfortable spot. He looks really, really good there. So anyway. How good is South Carolina? They're very good. They are very good. They hit the baseball extremely well. They're 13-3. They swept Miami of Ohio. They actually only won 2 of 3 against Belmont, but they, two of their three losses are to Clemson, each of which was by one run. That's a ranked Clemson team. Their number 10 is Clemson. They're quite good. They hit the baseball really well. They swept Longwood this weekend, for whatever that's worth to you. But yeah, they can mash. It's a good lineup. It's a good team. Again, two of their three losses are by one run to the number 10 team in the country. So, side note, Saturday was the last time Brad Nessler will have called any SEC-related sport. He even addressed it himself on the broadcast, kind of sad because he's been one of your favorite announcers forever. That is kind of sad. That is, I like Brad Nessler a lot. I do. I think he fit the role in the CBS, SEC on CBS quite well, taking over for Vern, because Vern is an icon. And so, that is sad. It is sad. Do I think Beard denies an NIT or CBI invitation, or will that be a big enough opportunity for year one? I, at this point, think that they will deny a bid. I think that when they're done in the SEC tournament, they are done for a multitude of reasons. The transfer portal will open up very soon. They need to really get on that. He needs to kind of flip the roster in a lot of spots again. The recruiting class is small for that reason. They need to be active and heavy in the portal. The NIT really is not going to get them much. Quite frankly, the more I think about it, although I think that, I mean, the last home NIT game in the pavilion was pretty sweet, but they need to have all hands on deck for transfer portal. So, it's not a Waffle House, it's a Waffle Home. I love it. So Ole Miss will unveil a new football uniform or a new combo. Keith Carter said they've got something coming with that in regards to uniforms for this season. What they need is pants. They need another pair of pants. But a lot of people disagree with this. I think that if you're not throwing in a new alternate uniform or doing some special things with your uniform, it's a wasted opportunity. You know, hold tradition, still have traditional looks, but the players, you know, the people that actually wear the uniforms on the field, love new stuff. They love mixing it up, and recruits love it too. So if, and I always go back to this, if Ohio State, what is it, 8-time national championship winning, 7-time Heisman Trophy winning Ohio State with all their rich tradition and history is not too good to do alternate uniforms and helmets and stuff, you aren't either. I mean, Ole Miss has got great branding and great colors and great uniforms. I get it. But if Ohio State's not too good for it, either are you. And you should do it from time to time. The players and the recruits love it. I have no problem with it. And so I'm curious to see what they do. Thoughts on the South Carolina women's title today? By the way, on your Greenville Twitter crusade, you attended there last year with the Ole Miss Travel Band and enjoyed it a lot. Nice city and the atmosphere was fun. Thank you. I hope you were able to stroll down Main and hop into a couple bars and eat as well as you should have there. Yeah, I mean, I for one cannot believe a Kim Mulkey coach team got into a scuffle in a game. I am truly shocked that that happened. But I'll leave that there. I have unpleasant things to say about her. There's just no reason for me to go down that road. She is a perfect example of somebody that is looked at favorably only because the teams that she coaches wins. Anyway, and the post-game comments too, I thought, and I know some people don't like Dawn Staley either, but compare what Kim Mulkey said after the game to what Dawn Staley said after the game. There's a difference between the two. For sure, but scrappy and nasty and hair pulling and elbowing and fighting and shoving each other down. That was something, wasn't it? She's okay. She is okay. Got treated for a concussion, but is otherwise okay. Chris Beard has been pretty profane at all of his stops, especially Texas Tech, until he leaves them for Texas. I think it does him well with the Ole Miss fans addressing the game that way, especially if something actually gets done. There is no doubt that that went a long way with at least some portion of the fan base. There's absolutely no doubt that that happened because there was some real anger, and there still is with how they ended the season. But after that came out, the mood shifted pretty quickly, at least from the fans that I interact with, right? People are like, oh, well, if he follows through, then damn, you know? So, yeah, that's how everybody should try to sell themselves because he's going to need some NIL money, right? If he's going to go get the portal players that he needs to turn that roster into a tournament roster, he needs money. Well, who do you get the money from? It's the fans, right? So you should do everything you can to curry as much favor as you can because you're asking average Joe fan to buy the players for you. So that approach needs to be everybody's approach. Kiffin can get away with it, and he's been more forward-facing than he ever has been, but he didn't have to be like Beard because it's football. Winning football just sells itself. Even like kind of winning football sells itself around here in the South. And so there's a little less required of the football coach than that of the basketball coach. Did I see Rooster Teeth is shutting down? Is that the people that made Red versus Blue? The old Halo videos? Isn't that them? I loved those, man. God, I grew up on Halo. We'd have curfew, and then we would go straight to Xbox Live and play Halo. So we would get to hang out. Like, we would have to come in at, you know, 9, 10, whatever curfew was, starting in middle school, so it was like 7:30. But after that, I mean, we'd play all day in the neighborhood and then go home and then hop on Xbox and play Halo until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, all summer long, every summer. And so, yeah, fond memories of that. But I didn't know that they were involved in anything after that. You would consider baseball going 3-3 in their first two series against South Carolina and Tennessee a major win? Absolutely. If they get three of their next or of their first SEC games, then that would be a very positive thing. I mean, we would come in here and talk positively about those two results for sure. Absolutely. If they get a series win this weekend and they turn around and go get one in Knoxville, fine. Absolutely fine. Borky for an Oscar? Yeah. Yeah. I can't even get a Mississippi Top 50 award. The hell's up with that? Do you know how funny it would be if I actually got one of those? How many people would be like, okay, top 50? Really? But I'm going to get somebody to nominate me one year just to see what happens. You know, we won a 9-0 showing in the first three series, but realistically, what do we want them to be at the end of the stretch? 4-5, 5-4. So we just, okay, let's do optimistic, realistic, pessimistic, right? Let's do that. And I guess the worst case scenario is they get swept in all three series, but let's not be that like overtly negative. Let's see. So optimistic would be, I think, winning. Hold on, excuse me. I think it would be winning every series. I mean, I guess possibly sweeping Kentucky, but I don't think you should ever predict a sweep in the SEC unless it's Missouri. So yes, 6-3 would be optimistic. 5-4 would be really, really good. 4-5 would be not terrible, but missed opportunity. Anything less than that would be they're probably missing the postseason again. Going to be some nervous teams in Nashville. Mississippi State has lost themselves into a must-win game, and A&M is desperately trying to backdoor their way in. Yeah, man, Mississippi State is hanging on by a freaking thread, and you know that the bid stealers are going to happen. I mean, they've almost played themselves out of it. And the thing is, like, these games are close, right? Like, they should have, coulda, shoulda, woulda beaten Kentucky. They just lost in overtime here. I mean, change one of those results and they're sleepwalking through Nashville and it's all good. But a losing streak is a losing streak. And, you know, losing to LSU to make it five losses in a row, there's a chance that they get left out. Now, the metrics love them, but still. All right, Brandon, thank you, man. Thank you for that. So if I can get addresses from the first five people that message in after this, you'll send them a PTG shirt also. Well, thank you for that and everything that you've done for us on the radio show and me on here. So let's see, Pat, Michael, Edward, Memphis. So you guys, okay, sorry, they all came in out of order after this, so I'm kind of having to sort through it. Is this still an SEC show? It can be. Hey, man, I'm glad you're here. Well, and yes, there will be, because of the podcast, it will be primary Ole Miss, but just doing exclusively Ole Miss and nothing else would get really boring and tedious really quickly. So if you want to bring up other stuff, man, please, by all means. I mean, we'll talk about anything here. What I've learned based on our radio show audience is that sports fans in Mississippi watch more than just Ole Miss and Mississippi State. They have NFL teams. They have MLB teams. They watch hockey. Some of them watch the NBA. I even had a Pelicans tweet that got like 7 likes today. So yes, man. Yeah, whatever. Please don't go anywhere. Stick around. But yeah, you guys, just shoot me a DM shoot me a DM. I'll trust that you were one of them, and I'll get you hooked up with Brandon, and we'll get you some PTG Outdoors apparel. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Can't be too shocked about drama with Mulkey when, yeah. But hey, man, she wears really funny jackets. I'm in the sports business, but sometimes we glorify people just because they win at sports games. And, you know, you don't have to criticize a person at every turn, right? But why is the discourse not? Anyway, whatever. That doesn't matter. I think that sometimes attitude reflects leadership. Captain, Shadow, remember the Titans? Attitude reflects leadership. So, LSU fans get so butthurt if anyone says anything about their program, such a soft fan base for one that considers themselves so superior to others. Just wait until they lose three football games again this year. Just wait until they lose three football games again this year. Because that's more likely than them being Alabama, right? At least I think so. So, yes, Rooster Teeth got their fame with Red versus Blue shutting down after 21 years. That's a long run, though, in the video game content business, though. It is so volatile. And so there are a lot of people that are hearing this right now wondering, what the hell are you guys talking about? And that's okay. But, I mean, Halo has just completely fallen off the face of the earth in the esports game. I mean, their last release was a disaster. They waited, 7 years to put that game out, and it wasn't any good, and it was lacking depth, and they didn't add anything after. I mean, it was awful, and so it kind of fell apart, and it's sad to see such a great institution completely just disintegrate the way it has. It really, really is a shame. So anyway, I'm top 50 in your book. I'll take it. That's the only thing that matters. I mean, a lot of these media, so top 50 is just like top 50 people. I don't ever expect to be in that. I'm more just joking than anything else, because, like, you know, the CEO of like a booming business is who gets that, not some joker that talks about sports on the radio and on a YouTube live stream and podcast. But a lot of the media awards are pay to play. And so I'm never going to win one of those either. Now, there are some that aren't. There are some that good people that do good work in this state have won that are not pay for play. But there are some media awards that you have to buy into an organization to win the awards. And when only one or two people buy into the organization for a set category, they happen to win all those awards. That does happen. That absolutely happens. Not all of them, but that does happen. And so those specific awards will never be won by me, because I'm never going to buy into an organization just to get a recognition. Only Elton John can rock a sparkly outfit, not Kim Mulkey. I still sometimes think about Elton John's LA Dodgers like sequins thing. Have you guys seen that? Here, let me pull it up. If you haven't seen it. I mean, it's ridiculous is what it is. And I guess you can buy it online. You can buy it online. You guys have seen this. I know you have. But I mean, it's just absurd. Let's see if I can remember how to do this. Look at that. Isn't that, that's just, anyway, it's just ridiculous. Never was much of a Halo guy. Never had an Xbox until after Halo had its decline. Heard it peaked with Halo 3, but wasn't that like in 2007? Yeah, it's been a while, man. I mean, it was on top of the world. The innovation and that the popularity was unbelievable. I mean, it was like Fortnite back then. That's what it was. It and then it just died. Mulkey should be a championship favorite with what she added, and Angel Reese returning. Instead, there's been ego and drama all season long. Says a lot about the coach. If I wear a Mulkey jacket, I'll get my top 50 award. Oh, man. I might pay some of you guys to submit me for that and see if I actually get one. I don't know why I think that would be so funny. I mean, Richard's been named in it before. Why can't I? I mean, he never works. He took 2 days off last week and this entire week after missing basically every Friday. Like, all basketball season two. And he gets it? I think he got it like 2 years ago. I don't remember when he got it. I'm kidding. You have one of those Dodger jackets? Well, I mean, you're in a band. You're a musician, so I'm sure you can pull it off too. There's no way in hell I could. There's no way in hell I could. Was Mulkey like that at Baylor? Yeah. Remember after the Baylor scandal happened, she said that if you don't want to send your daughter to Baylor, you should be punched in the face? Yeah, that's that person. So I do think, though, and I don't really care one way or the other. I mean, it's not something I'm going to advocate for. I do think that the SEC baseball tournament would be well served to bounce around a little bit. And the basketball tournament, too. I think that unless you're in an iconic venue, and Bridgestone Arena is nice, very, very nice. And the Hoover Met like has history, I suppose, but it's, you know, not in great shape. It's kind of gross. The area around the Met is awesome. The Met itself, it leaves a lot to be desired, but I think bouncing around is not the worst idea. You know, New Orleans, Nashville, Greenville, Atlanta. What other cities? I mean, now that Texas is looped in, I mean, you got media days coming to Dallas. I'm not opposed to it bouncing around some. And I mean that for everything. Media days, baseball, basketball tournaments, all that. This idea that, you know, everything's got to be centrally located, I understand, but that, you know what that means? The people that benefit the most are the same people every single year. Every year it's the same people. Let's pretend that everything's in Nashville every year. Well, who benefits? Tennessee fans, Kentucky for basketball travel everywhere, and Ole Miss, Alabama, Auburn. I guess Georgia too. But A&M's always screwed. Forever and a day away from Florida. It's a hike from LSU. It's a hike from Missouri. It's a hike from Norman, Oklahoma, and Austin, Texas. You see what I'm getting at? So I think, frankly, it would be better served to throw people a bone around the footprint of the SEC as opposed to one spot where, yes, you have a cluster of schools and towns that are closer, but it's the same schools every year that benefit because they're the ones that are close. Everybody else still has a hike. So if you move it around a little bit, some years you're closer to Florida and South Carolina and Georgia, and some years you're closer to A&M and Texas and LSU, et cetera. Moving it around actually does more favors for people in the long run as opposed to keeping it in one spot. And yes, I'm still standing for Greenville, which is just an exceptional city for hosting a tournament like that. So anyway, still having fun with it. Can we let SEC schools host the tournament? Imagine Swayze, Duty, Noble, Bomb, et cetera, hosting. I love that idea. I really love that idea. I would like to know why they don't do that. Maybe the stadium sizes, that's what it is. It's stadium size because you can't take it to Missouri. For one, I mean, you can't take it to Missouri. Alabama just did a renovation, so maybe, but you can't take it to Georgia. Can you even really take it to Kentucky? You know, there's only about five or six. Let's see. Ole Miss State, LSU, Arkansas. I mean, South Carolina could do it for sure. Florida's got a new stadium, but it's not huge. But You can't do that with everybody. The Met at least has size to its benefit. So I do love that idea, though. They do it for softball. Softball bounces around. But, yeah, baseball, they just the demand outweighs the venue size. Definitely like switching hosts for the tournament. Went to a baseball game when USM hosted 2 years ago. Not the SEC, of course, but the energy was insane with the entire conference in town. Southern Miss got another big series win this weekend, too, by the way. They are rolling. They are rolling. Host a basketball tournament in Jackson, I will sponsor. Now, hold on a second. I need to workshop this thing. Okay, so for the high school basketball tournament, they call the Mississippi Coliseum, they call it the Big House. That's what they call it. And I've always wondered why. Because it's not the biggest arena in the state. And it hasn't been like, I mean, when was it built? 1962. When was the hump built? Probably after that. So maybe it was just by sheer time. Yeah, the hump was built in 1975. But calling it the Big House when it's not the biggest stadium in the state, I know it's so stupid, but it bothers me. It's so dumb. It's 3,000 seats smaller than the Pavilion and Humphrey. Like, it's not the Big House. It's the third place house. I don't know. Brandon, holy. Thank you. Holy shit, man. Thank you. Good Lord. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. You hate Hoover for the baseball tournament. You can't walk anywhere around that town. You're a firm no, and you will never go back. The thing that people keep going back to is the RV accommodations are awesome. And that is a big portion of the attendees of the tournament. And they've done a really good job with like accommodations for kids and things of that nature. They've done a good job with the amenities for the people that are most likely to stay, you know, days on end. League office is nearby as well. And there's like this energy of there's no reason not to. Like, there's no reason to? Like, why move it? And there's no reason to. The venue here is, you know, they're working hard on it. So I'm good either way. I'm not passionate either way. I would like to see it bounce around, but, you know, it's a conference baseball tournament. It is the second most meaningful postseason tournament the teams will play in every year. So nothing should be in Jackson except Kiefer's. Kiefer's and Fertile Ground and Elvie's. Fertile Ground's cool. The new brewery they got there. I've been twice recently, and I've been drinking a cranberry beer that they made. Yes, I know. I know. But it's so good. Anyway, never go back to the football stadium in Jackson. The last time I was there was College Game Day. I went down for College Game Day with Coach Prime, and it was kind of rainy, but it was really cool to see that there. Honestly, that was a lot of fun being there that day. But I'm with you. I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of work that needs to be done there is what it is. Oh, you mean for Ole Miss and State? Yeah, oh, God, yeah. No, I mean, the only way that would happen again is if, like what's going on with Kansas. So Kansas is flattening their stadium and completely rebuilding it. And so they can't play football on it this year, but they're playing all their home games at Arrowhead. I think, well, five home games at Arrowhead, and then the other two are at like a small venue when they're playing small teams, something like that. So if the day ever comes, which it won't, where they completely flatten Vaught-Hemingway and build it back from the bottom, then I guess conceivably they could play games there, but that day's never going to come, I don't think. So anyway, cranberry beer. Yes, I swear, cranberry beer. And I loved it. It was very, very good. Although it kind of upset my stomach a little bit. There must be like some sugar in there or something but I really liked it. So have I been to Hoover? I have. Yes, for the baseball tournament a couple of times, and then the media days three times that we're there. And it's, you know, it's not New Orleans. It's not Nashville. It's not Chattanooga. It's not Greenville. It's not any of those places. It's the acidity of the cranberries. Yeah, you're smarter than me. It was something like that. It kind of just made me feel funny for like a day and a half, but I really liked it. So you're glad we never have to see Egg Bowl and Iron Bowl neutral site games. Me too. I'd moved here in 2010, so I never really saw that to begin with. But I think that that's just a horrible idea. But neutral site rivalry games, I don't like. And I know like the cocktail party in Jacksonville is awesome or whatever, but they're going to push for those to Kirby Smart's already pushing for those to be home games. A home stadium on a campus is always better than a neutral stadium anywhere else. Always, in my opinion. It's always better. So, anyway, I got to run, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in for the first iteration. As you guys can tell, probably really not a whole lot different, but this is how it's going to be. So we'll see you Tuesday. If you're listening in the podcast feed, Mike Bianco's interview will be uploaded for you sometime tomorrow. It's during the show, so it'll be tomorrow night. If it is tomorrow, if not, early Tuesday morning. And then we'll be back right here 8 o'clock on Tuesday, 8 o'clock Tuesday night for more of this podcast. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll talk to you here on Tuesday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.